Lord, we're grateful that we once again were able to open your word to get this direct revelation that Holy Spirit, you inspired these authors to write. We're so grateful for Dr. Luke and his willingness to hear from you, Holy Spirit, and to write this orderly account of your life, of your death, your resurrection, and then later in Acts of how you've continued to work through your church. We're so grateful, Jesus, that you've never given up on us, that you're continually allowing us to know you more. And I pray that today will be one of those days where our hearts are touched and blessed by these words that we're looking at. In your holy name, amen. This is an interesting passage. Jesus has been given some parables. I love that Dr. Luke oftentimes now is telling you what the purpose of the parable is before you're given the parable. And so you have a real understanding of why you're looking at it. But in this particular parable, a couple of the servants are given a good well done. And then they get a reward. It's like, well done, good and faithful servant. They're rewarded for how they've responded to caring for the king's, the nobleman's monies that he had entrusted with them. There's others that are like, okay, yeah, you hid it away and that's not so good. And they're not really condemned as much as the last group. It's like, okay, bring those people that were opposed to me so that they can be slaughtered in front of my eyes. And I think, again, as we look at this, a lot of times people try to pick and choose, okay, who do these characters in the parable represent? And oftentimes, the nobleman in this parable is equated to Jesus. And if you try to follow that too closely, you're going to find that some things don't work. So, just like when we were looking at the bad judge and the lady that kept nagging him and wanting to get justice. And it's like some people will look at that and say, okay, well, Scripture thinks that we should just be so tenacious that we're going to keep on bothering God until he breaks down and gives us what we want. And that's what they get out of that. And pretty clearly, that's not the God that we know and serve. And it's not the God that Jesus was trying to talk about in that parable. He's saying, here's a parable, and these are some characters. But he never said, this is you and this is me. And again, as we look at this one, I think we need to be careful with that. Just historically, let me before we start reading the text, King Herod, who thought he was so wonderful, he named himself King Herod the Great, had some kids, and his three sons, some of them got slaughtered and killed for whatever reasons, you know, didn't make their bed properly. These were some wicked people. Okay. Now Herod had three sons, and one of his sons, Archelaus, was going to be given the region. He determined that he was going to divide his kingdom. You know, he was so great that it would take three people to replace him. So his three sons are given different regions, different sections, and Archelaus was given Judea and Samaria, and that area. And so Archelaus leaves from there to go to Rome and to be given the blessing so that he can come back and be king. And he really wasn't well liked by his people. I guess the Jewish people weren't real fond of him, and a group of them followed Archelaus to Rome to try to convince the authorities there that this guy is not worthy of being a king. And so he did not actually get the kingship at that time. He was, I don't know, an ethnarch or something. They sent him back with some other weird title and said that he'd have to earn his way to become king. And so he's going back there. But when he returned, he was quite upset with those people that had opposed him. And so he had a whole bunch of them brought before him and had them slaughtered, like 3,000 individuals. So if you'd been known to say anything against him, it's like you're in this slaughter group. I don't see our God, Jesus, as that individual, although there are some parallels as far as when Christ comes back for his final second coming, there will be judgment. And I think too often we try to pretend like, you know, he's all just, you know, flowers and love and light and all of that. And then he truly is love and he is light. And God still is a God of justice. And eventually, if you continually oppose God and you never choose to follow him, there will be judgment for that. So there's some parallels here, but I don't know that you could follow this and say that Jesus is telling a story about himself. Some of the other things, he's near Jericho. Remember, he'd kind of entered Jericho. He was walking through there. So this is all on his journey to head towards Jerusalem, where he is going to lay his life down. And a lot of his disciples and many of this crowd that's following him right now, they don't think that he is going to die. They think he's going to take over and start a new kingdom at that time, and he's going to rule and reign, and they wanted to rule and reign with him. Many of them probably had memory, if not personally, through stories of Archelaus, and it was pretty recent history for them. He had been banished shortly after Christ's birth and was no longer ruling there. So, you know, all of this history stuff kind of falls in there. He's telling a story. He's using this experience that many of them would have known. Jesus would tell parables with common experiences that the listeners would understand, and it would be to teach a larger truth. And so as we jump into this, we're in Luke chapter 19 and starting with verse 11. You'll find that in the Pew Bibles on page 1681, super giant print, easy to read. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Now, while they were listening to these things, well, which things are those? They were listening to the concept. The story just before this is Zacchaeus, where Zacchaeus had climbed up in this tree. Jesus said, hey, come on down. I'm going to be at your house today. I must go to your house. And he goes there. Zacchaeus has a true conversion. He makes sure and pays half of his wealth. And anything else, I mean, he's like four times as much as going to be given to anybody if he's extorted from them. And he truly has had a heart conversion. Zacchaeus has a changed life. He's a changed man. And Jesus' final words, and it says, now they were listening to these things. So the things they were listening to, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So while people are listening to this, they're understanding this, Jesus went on to tell a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. And I would include in that his closest disciples, even though he's told them numerous times, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again 3 days later. He's tried to make it as plain as you possibly could, and each time after he tells them, Dr. Luke records, but they didn't understand. And here they are, he's trying to explain to them again, I'm going to tell you a parable. This is something that you will understand because it's an experience you're aware of and you know about. And you can kind of put me into this category. He's not saying he is this nobleman, but it's like, so you can understand something's going to happen and it's going to be some time in between. So he said, this is a parable he's teaching them. A nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself, and then to return. And he called 10 of his own slaves and gave them 10. Now you can try to find different ways to pronounce this word. Minas, minas, minas. It's not 100% clear. And he said to them, do business with this money until I come back. So each one of these would be worth about 3 months, 3 to 4 months wages. So not a huge sum of money, but it's sizable. And it's like, here, invest this, do something with it until I come back. Do business with this money. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, "We do not want this man to reign over us." Now at this point, clearly, he's not talking about when Jesus goes up and ascends into heaven. It's like there's not a group of people that hate him are going to ascend up into heaven and try to convince the Father that he doesn't deserve the kingdom. That's stretching it, but this is the story of what had actually happened. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be summoned to him so that he would learn how much they had made by the business they had done. The first slave appeared, saying, "Master, your mina has made 10 minas more." And he said to him, "Well done, good slave. Since you have been faithful in a very little thing, you're to have authority over 10 cities. So he's been given this kingdom, and he's like, okay, you've been a faithful servant with this little bit, I'm going to give you a lot. That's a biblical principle. I think we're going to be able to find many other places where the rewards that God gives to his people, much of it is based on, are you faithful with what I've already given you? Have you used wisely the talents? And in Matthew, there's the story of the talents. Not the same thing as this story. It's a different story. But, you know, monies were given, and those that invested well were rewarded extremely well. God's going to outbless us every time. Whatever we think we're doing, and hey, look how wonderful we are for you, Lord. It's like anything good that we can do, it's because of his goodness and glory and his giving us the ability to do it in the first place. So we really can't take a lot of credit. If you're going to name yourself John the Great or Tony the Great, you've got problems. This continues on. "Master, your mina's made 10 minas," and he's saying, "since you've been faithful in very little thing, you are to have authority over 10 cities. The second one came saying, your mina, master, has made 5 minas. Now, they're giving him credit. It's your mina. This was yours. And you know, look how it has made. They're not trying to take a lot of credit for themselves. It's just, this is what's happened. We've done what you asked us to do. We did business while you were gone. This particular servant was able to make 5 out of 1. That's pretty good. And he said to him also, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, "Master, here is your mina, which I kept tucked away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow." Does that apply to Jesus? Not even close. The Jesus we know, he creator of all things, maker of all things, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. This is not the character of Jesus, but it clearly was the character of Archelaus. And so I could see where if you're one of his servants and you're thinking, "This guy, what if I lose it? I just better hold on to it so I can give it back to him so I won't be in trouble." But that wasn't good enough for him. "I was afraid of you because you're a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow." And he said to him, "From your own lips I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? And so why did you not put my money in the bank, and when I came back I would have collected it with interest? You should have done something better than hiding it in your hanky. That just isn't good stewardship." Now those are the only 3 that report back. We don't know about the other 7. They might fall in one of these categories somewhere in between. Not sure. At this point, and then he said to the other slaves who were present, "Take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, "Master, he already has 10 minas. You know, here we are, as humans, we always seem to think that we know exactly what's right. You know, let's just share equally with everyone. Well, it's like, no, the person that's really good at investing, give him some more to keep investing so he can keep building. And I think, again, with talents and with gifts that God's poured into his church, individuals that are faithful with the gifts that they've been given, God's going to continue to give them more. And that's a biblical principle. If we are faithful with what we have, that's going to expand and grow. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. It's like, okay, you've been given this to steward and take care of, and you just kind of ignored it and let it die. So you don't need that. That's taken away from you. I don't think we want to share our spiritual gifts in that way, by inactivity, by lack of living them out. When Holy Spirit pours into us His goodness and His grace, that's something for us to share with the world around us. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence. Ouch. Again, I don't know that that's the heart of Jesus, and yet there is some truth in that as we look that there's going to come a time where he comes and he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. He's going to make sure that there's rewards for those that have done well in the kingdom, and that those that have been opposed to him will be sent to the lake of fire for eternity. Maybe harsh, but it's part of truth. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. We're asking that we can understand fully that when you say something's going to happen, we know it's going to happen. You tried to explain to the disciples again and again why you were going to Jerusalem, and yet they only heard what they wanted to hear. You're going to Jerusalem, and their assumption was your kingdom was going to be established immediately, and they could rule and reign with you. And Lord, that time period where you've been gone now for left the earth bodily a couple thousand years ago plus, and then we're still waiting. I'm so grateful for your patience that you cared enough to keep waiting for my conversion and for many others after me. And I pray that we will faithfully share you, your word, your love with the world around us, with family members, with friends, with acquaintances, with strangers on the road, if we're given the opportunity. God, help us to go forth with great power as you empower us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for those opportunities where we've had and we've taken them and opened our mouths and explained to those around us that there are some truths in the world that we live in, that even though things may look bad, we know the Creator, we know the Savior, we know the one that wants to invite us into His kingdom, into His family, and prepare housing for us for eternity, and not housing that's going to fall apart and be subject to atrophy and all the other things of this earth, Lord, but that we can know that you are eternally going to bless us, and all we've got to do is just accept you and love you and know that we can trust you with every little thing. Amen.